All right, I'm calling the regular meeting of the Bolton Planning and Zoning Commission to order at 7:30 p.m. And I'm going to appoint Tom Crockett for Tom Robbins and Steve Clark for Jeremy Flick. Next order of business is the approval of minutes for July 12th, 2023.
Make a motion to approve the minutes as written.
Tom Crockett moves.
I'll second.
Steve Clark second.
Steve Clark second.
Steve Clark seconds. Is there any discussion?
Here. Mr. Chairman, I have a question.
Yes.
I listened to the audio, so do I get to vote on the approval of the minutes or not?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
For the record, I also listened to the tapes.
All right, the motion has been made and seconded. I hear no discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Hearing none, the minutes are approved.
And we have 7 voting, right?
Yes.
Thank you.
Residents forum. Do we have any residents that want to, that are present that want to speak on any item not on the agenda? No. That's quick. Staff reports. Patrice.
I'll start. My last month has been probably 99% in the sustainable CT recertification application. So that's pretty much all I've done outside of meeting with a few folks and answering a few questions here and there.
Not the town's, that's the town's application.
That's the town's application. We were certified in 2020. I don't know, it's right there on the wall to your left, to your left. I think it was 2020, and so recertification every 3 years.
And what does it do for us?
It tells the public that we are a sustainable community, that we follow sustainable trends. And I don't know, Mike, you got anything? I was told that it's a self-reflection of the community, and it makes you think about things that maybe you might not have thought about. Far, I don't know if we've received any grants because we are a member of, or we are certified a sustainable community. I've no knowledge of anything that we have gotten like that because of that accreditation.
So are all towns in Connecticut certified or
nope.
Just a percentage? Okay.
So is there still a commission to move forward from silver to bronze to gold to whatever?
Basically, I've just been doing this and contacting people who helped out last time for certain things. We have applied for rolling credit, which is credit on things we did before that we are still doing. And then there are new credits for things that we are doing now that maybe we either weren't doing or we did not apply for last time. So there's no actual commission, if you will. And we are going to recertify for bronze. We were bronze first time, we're recertifying for the same thing. I'm not sure we could get to silver because of some of the requirements. I just don't know if we'd be able to make it.
It's really, the evaluation process is in my mind somewhat slanted to some municipality like New Haven or Bridgeport that have hundreds of employees and departments and folks that can implement programs and their and budgets. And I mean, there's a lot of very nitty gritty criteria in there that small towns just don't have the opportunity for the staff. It's just, it's a good way to, if the town of Bolton were to be looking to prepare sort of a New Year's resolution list, the sustainable CT process is a good is a good way to kind of go through that. But it does feel like the smaller communities are at a bit of a disadvantage in my looking at that, because there's just not the same opportunity that would exist in a community of much larger size.
We're talking about solar panels on parking, aren't we?
Yeah, charging stations.
Charging stations.
Electric uses, recycling programs, community.
Things like, is your POCD up to date? Do you have an open space plan? What are your open space priorities? Do you have to perform an equity action? I don't know, there's 12 different categories that you need to perform at least one action in. It's due this Friday and I can't wait till Monday.
Thank you, Patrice. Mike, what have you been working on?
So since the last meeting, been doing some of the uneventful stuff, obviously permit reviews and some enforcement, both on ongoing and new stuff. We did a little bit of work with Danielle and some of the stuff we're going to talk about later pertaining to the zoning regs. Patrice and I had some meetings with a couple of property owners about projects, and also just trying to understand kind of what their plans might be in the future, so we can help them understand what the zoning regs require and if there are any potential roadblocks. I know I still have on my homework list some of the high density housing information. And the town that has that is currently going through a document scanning project. So the files are not in the building, but I'm working on that. And we'll get that to you guys as soon as they are able to physically possess it and get it over to me. And I had a little vacation in there too somewhere.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Any other questions from members? I don't see any. Is there any old business?
I don't have any, no. Yeah.
Move on to new business. Discussion, possible decision, site plan application for dead. 35 Lakeside Circle, James Grady, number PL-23-5. And I see that the applicant is here.
Good evening, how are you tonight? I'm James Grady from 5 Laurel Lane, Bolton, from Grady Construction. We are applying for the deck at 35 Lakeside Circle. We currently have a wetlands permit, and we also have a zoning variance, and we're just looking to get the final approval. We are planning on using techno piers, so there will be no digging, no heavy machinery. The rest of it will just be installing the wood and composite decking and railings. We plan on installing a silt fence prior to starting to prevent anything from washing down into the lake. We'll be vacuuming our sawdust up daily and making sure that we keep a nice, clean, tight job site.
Now, are the techno piles, are those the helical piles?
Helical piers, yep. Techno pier is out of. It's either Meriden or somewhere right down there in Connecticut.
So the issue is, this is construction within 50 feet of the lake. Is that the issue, Patrice?
That's correct.
And
the setback lines are kind of trapezoidal, so it makes it awkward. That's their disadvantage there at that property. And the client that I'm working for just previously bought this house recently. They're not the ones who built it, but they were left with a set of stairs that's, I think, 38 or 44 inches high, and there's no graspable handrail or anything safety there to it. And they're getting older in age and would like to have somewhere they could go out the back safely and easily to get down to the lake. also the previous house that was there, if you look at Google Earth pictures, had a covered deck in the same location that was closer to the lake and larger than the deck we're proposing.
Okay, Patrice, so that we need to make a finding.
Yeah, you look at the regulation, which is 3. James, do you know it offhand? I know you put it in the your application.
No, but I could look through my emails with Danielle because she found it for me. I was struggling with that one.
Uh, 3A7. No building or structure shall be permitted within 50 feet of any lake, pond, swamp, or watercourse flood zone as defined by the regulations of the Bolton Inland Wetlands Commission and by the Connecticut General Statutes, except that the Planning and Zoning Commission may permit such building after approval by the Inland Wetlands Commission if it can be shown that the building or structure will not cause pollution or compromise the ecology, and such structures shall be built to satisfy minimum requirements of Section 3R of these regulations. Not if there is a 3R, but we're going to look.
Patrice, while you're looking, is there any weight to the fact that this is replacing an existing deck? I mean, it's not a new addition. Is that correct?
Well, the existing one was already torn down when they rebuilt that home, but they left some of the foundation and then they never put a deck back on the back of the house and they sold it.
Right, I mean, he has been to the Wetlands Commission. They have approved what he's doing. There is a variance there. He's not digging into the ground or causing any kind of erosion control. I mean, I think he's kind of meeting the gist of the requirement, unless there's something more that you feel you need to show that. But I don't think he's doing anything more than, you know, what's either been there or...
I graduated UConn in 2004 with a bachelor's in engineering for natural resource management. And I could confidently say we would not be having any effect on the ecology of the lake or polluting the lake at all.
Have any of the abutters filed any complaints? The abutters within 500 feet?
We have mailed letters to all, I think it was over 50 abutters, and nobody complained or showed to the other previous two meetings.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Right. You had a variance meeting and a wetlands meeting so far, right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
And Patrice, did you find 3R?
No, there is no 3R, so I don't know what to tell you.
Oops.
There being no 3R, I think we can afford to find that the proposed construction is compliant with it. All right, so I'm going to say I make a motion. At the Planning and Zoning Commission, approve the proposed deck. Approve the deck proposed. An application PL-23-5 and find that it is in compliance with the requirements of 3A7 of the zoning regulations. That sound good, Patrice?
Yes.
Should you add the address to the applicant?
Yes, I will do that. Okay, here's the motion. I make a motion that the Planning and Zoning Commission approve the deck proposed for 35 Lakeside Circle in the site plan application included in number PL-23-5 and find that it is in compliance with 3A7 of the zoning regulations.
I second that motion, Jim Cropley.
Is there any discussion? I see none in the room. What about online?
Nope.
Okay.
And on this one I'm gonna call the roll. Tom Crockett.
Aye.
Rodney Fournier.
Aye.
Arlene Fiano.
Aye.
Jeff Scala.
Aye.
Vaughn Gordon.
I don't think I'm voting this evening. I don't think I was set.
I see it.
Just say yes.
Oh, sorry. Jim Cropley?
Aye.
Steve Clark?
Aye.
Your name. Call the chair once.
And the chair votes aye. No, I have counted myself in the seven. I'm missing.
James, we'll send you out another certified letter with the result, and then you can apply for your zoning permit and whatever else you have to do for the construction of the deck.
Thank you very much. I appreciate all your time and the opportunity. Is this one similar to the variance where I have to file it with the town clerk?
No, you'll use the site plan. You'll file that with your zoning permit for the permit to construction.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye. Anybody mind if I change the lighting? So it's better?
It's fine.
Oh, okay. Well, I couldn't see before.
Okay.
Looks pretty bright.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll move on to 6B, application, special permit for a 6-unit senior housing project, 7 Loomis Road, Michael Gadonke, number PL-23-6. The applicant is here in the room.
We submitted digitally the application, and I also brought along a couple full size sets of plans, site plan and architectural plan. Essentially, these would be six one bedroom, one bathroom, 1,000 square foot apartments with a age restriction of 62 and older. And this is on the site at 7 Loomis Road, where we previously had approved a commercial building, or the commission had previously approved the commercial building. But I think I expressed previously that there didn't seem to be any need for the office use or retail use that were essentially permitted. So, and we decided that, been expressed to me multiple times by a lot of people in town that there's a need for senior housing. So I thought this would be a good
match for the meet. Anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them.
Yeah, thank you. Patrice, is the application complete?
The application is complete. We have a application fee, the consulting fee, maps, butters, the whole, everything. Yes.
Okay, so I move that the first, let's call it, find out when our September meeting is.
I believe it is September 13th.
Okay, I move that the Planning and Zoning Commission receive application number PL-23-6 and set a public hearing for 7:30 p.m. September 13th, 2023 at the Bolton Town Hall, 222 Bolton Center Road, and virtually.
I'll second the motion.
Second, Jeff Scala. Is there any discussion?
Mike, you can make that meeting, right? Mr. Bugnacki can make that meeting?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
No problem. Are we asking for discussion of the plan itself or just of the,
no, just
the meeting itself?
Just okay.
No discussion. Yeah.
All right. I will call the roll. Is there any other discussion? I'll call the roll again. Tom Crockett?
Aye.
Wendy Fernier?
Aye.
Aye. Arlita's aye. Jeff?
Aye.
Tim Crockett?
Aye.
Steve Clark?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye.
You got it.
Is there any other new business?
There is not. Mike, you'll be receiving information and stuff from me to move forward for the public hearing, like you did when we did the regulation change.
So it's okay. I'll leave these for
sure. You guys. That's fine.
Thank you.
I have no other new business.
Okay.
Thank you, Mike. All right, thank you.
Item 7, ongoing discussion, Bolton subdivision and zoning regulations.
So I believe the first thing I want to do is just update you on where we are with regard to the codification process. And I heard from the town clerk today, and this is what she said. Zach from General Code came in a couple weeks ago and met with Jim Rupert and Liz, the town clerk. Jim authorized General Code to do the review of the changes that were made to the new charter because those were not part of what General Code looked at. Jim said he wanted to defer any of the questions that were remaining in the first 95 pages of the review. I don't know what that means, but apparently they're deferring whatever that is. Once General Code reviews everything, a draft will be created and a meeting scheduled. And as far as timeline, she was not told how long that would take. And that is all she knows for right now. So until I get a better timeline, we'll just continue the way we're going.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions for any of the members?
So the only thing I did leave you with homework last time, we had the spreadsheet of all the uses and you guys were going to look at them and see if there's any uses that you felt that could be things left in the hands of staff without having to go before the commission. Or if it's a special permit, maybe it doesn't need to be, maybe it just needs to be a site plan.
So Patrice, was that a part of a packet, or was that something you handed out?
It was in the last packet, I believe. I can bring it up on the screen.
Could you do that? I looked on the I looked through the town website, but I didn't find it.
Okay.
Yeah, I did the same. I couldn't find it either.
Okay.
I do have some feedback.
Great, Quan. Hey, if you give me 1 second so I can share the screen, and then we'll let me figure where I am. Here we go. Do you need that bigger?
Oh yeah.
Okay. I'll
turn the lights down.
How's that?
Much better, thank you.
Oops, sorry. Okay, there we go. So I don't know if you want to take turns, if since Quan is ready, if you want to let Quan go first.
Please.
All right, so generally what I did is I kind of went to the whole approach and whole reasoning of the special permit, special use permit. And that is the idea of making sure that the public is essentially safeguarded when thinking about things of safety. So what I kind of did is I kind of went through the list. I kind of made my own list just to make it a little bit easier for me to read. So things that I took in consideration was like the type of business or the type of industry, and then the type of potential risk exposures, whether it be something like chemicals, radiation, or in terms of a food product, you know, the type of ingredients that someone from the general public could potentially digest. So when I went through the list, I see there was about 25 different businesses or different types of industries. And my reasoning for what I have is, businesses or personal offices, in my opinion, didn't need a special permit, because I would think a general professional business, you're not really dealing, or the public wouldn't interface that frequently with potential chemicals or types of radiation. Another one that I consider, you know, not required for a special use permit. Where did it go? It's a bank or a financial institution. Yes, obviously a bank, you want to think about general overall safety, but in a general everyday practical use case of a business, there are really no chemicals. Individuals are not being served food. There's no radiation that could be potentially hazardous to the general public. Another where I thought I kind of went back and forth from companies, newspaper printing and job printing. So yes, there could be some type of chemicals involved, but I would think in that, in a business of that type, they would have a control room or an area where the general public is not exposed to printers or presses or any type of printing material. That can be, you know, say for example, like a Staples where you do have self-serve, that could be questionable. But generally, I think the general expectation is that you're not going to be coming into any type of harmful radiational potential opportunities there. Another one, let's see, was driving ranges and miniature golf courses. Yeah, we all could potentially, I mean, you can probably put a probability on anything, you know, a golf ball, you know, hitting a car. But I would think in the site plan, that all safeguards would be, you know, accounted for in terms of yardage, how far away a house or residence or another business would be away from that golf course. And frankly, I don't really see where a really big size golf course would be placed in town. I think way back when Bolton Farms, the subdivision of Bolton Farm was supposed to be a golf course, but that was turned into residential housing units. When it comes to retail shops, I thought that was kind of questionable because you can have different type of retail shops. A clothing retail shop, there's really no inherent risk there. But if somebody was selling some type of food product, a general convenience store, that's considered retail, you may or may not want to have a special use permit. So I kind of had a question mark next to that one. Also had a question mark next to studio, and it's listed as graphic arts, crafts, and photographic or photography. This kind of goes back to a case I mentioned before about the potential of coming into potential radiation. So I know for photography, more particularly at night, or development, there could be infrared, it could be ultraviolet. But I would kind of also think that that type of development of film will be put off in the back corner in a controlled environment, in a controlled room, away from the general public. So for that, I kind of had a question mark, is whether it should have a special permit, special use permit. And that is the feedback that I have.
So I have a question, if that's okay. I didn't want to stop you because you're on a roll there. So you're saying instead of special permit for these things, they would still require site plan and still come to the commission? Or do you think they could be done through the staff without having to go through the commission?
I didn't generally break it down. The points that I made of being not being required, I would say at the very minimum, the staff review. I didn't really go into should they come forward to the commission.
Okay. I think your reasoning is good. I think it's thoughtful about, how we look at things when we look at them from the staff perspective as well. I don't know, Mr. Chairman, how do you want to do this? I can't obviously put them all on the same screen. So you've been looking at this one for a little bit. I can move it down a little bit.
I'd like to ask Kwan to scan his list and send it to you and then send it out to us.
Okay.
I could definitely do that. I essentially took a little cheat sheet. I went to the town's website and I actually went to the section in the rules and regulations where it actually lists out, I think starting with section 8A.2. And I kind of just copied that and printed it on a single page because it fit on a single page. And yep. Then in my notes, I kind of put, not required or SUP, or I had SUP question mark. So I can definitely do that.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem. And for the record, I had about six business types not needing a special permit, in my opinion.
Special permit or special use permit?
That's the same thing.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, they're just...
I thought one was...
SP is site plan. SUP is special permit.
Right. Because I can't use SP for both, so we had to make a distinguish. We used site special use permit for SUP.
I would like to thank Kwan for doing the job. It looks like a whole committee, especially me. I didn't do anything. I went away for a couple of weeks and I forgot all about it. So thank you. I think it's a great start. And maybe we get together next time we can come have a little better discussion about
it. So I just need a clarification that special permit and special use permit still requires them to come before us, and anything in this list that doesn't have anything in the lines is for staff?
It's not permitted.
It's not permitted.
Right. So let's take here, for example, Arlene, museums and art studios right here.
Yeah.
They are not permitted in the general business zone, which is interesting, or the neighborhood business zone, but they are permitted by special use permit in the RMUZ and in the GMUIZ, and they are not permitted in the industrial zone.
Yeah, I don't see the whole list.
Wow.
So for the most part in this list, I believe almost everything is special use permit. That requires a public hearing and going to the commission. There's very few things that are just by site plan, and those are in the beginning, these pretty much state-owned, town-owned farm stands, seasonal commercial agriculture, it's minimal. Everything else and that's those, allowed is allowed those, by special permit.
So the special permits do not come before us, just the special use permits.
No, special permits and special use permits are the same thing. They both come to you for public hearing. I don't mean to call them special. You guys are used to calling them special permits. The problem with that is to signify that on a plan like this, site plan has the same initials. So that's why we distinguished it that way. But we had this discussion, if you remember, when we began the plan of conservation and development, and we discussed how many of the items that are here that maybe could go either through a site plan process alone or simply a staff review, as opposed to having people have to come in, pay the price, and wait 2 months for a public hearing and all of that. So there are some things, and I think Quan's given it a good first blush here, that probably don't need to have public hearings. That if you've got a general business zone, and in that general business zone you're trying to encourage office space and whatever, then you might not need a public hearing for an office building to be built. You can still get comments from the public. People will still ask questions, but you don't need to set it up for a public hearing per se.
And what if you want to change the art studio and allow it in a...
Well, I think we just, the list is here. Basically, this list is a compilation of all of the sections for all of these non-residential zones. So the GB, NB, RMUI, RMUZ, I, and the GMUIZ. All of these zones are not residential zones. So we made a list of all of the things, because there's a table for each one of these zones, and these things are all listed in there. So we're trying to compile it so it's one list with the zones there, so you can see at a glance what's allowed where and what's not allowed where. So basically, this is the whole list of all the things that are allowed in your regulations or not allowed in your regulations in one list, where they're allowed and how they're allowed. So we can look at you can look at them all. If you decide that you want art studios in the general business zone, we can add that to the general business zone. Whatever you do here to change the regulations, you will have to have a public hearing on, and you will hear from the public on that. But the regulations are. We were trying to make things a little more streamlined for certain things that maybe didn't necessarily need a public hearing, or in some cases to even come to the commission.
That is a huge combination of things to compile.
Yeah.
40 different in 5 different positions.
Yeah, I think there's 2 pages total. Yeah, 2 pages total. But if you go to the back to these different zones in the book, in the zoning regulations, you'll see, you know, banks and financial institutions are listed under the general business zone. Then you go to the neighborhood business, they're listed there again. Then they're listed here again under this zone. So instead of listing them 4 times in the regulations and making the regulations maybe 4 pages longer than they need to be, you could make one complete table saying, this is the thing, this is where we allow it, and this is how we allow it to get there.
I would say it's page 83 on the regulations is kind of where started my basis from.
Patrice, I have a question. If we, the things we allow staff to approve, if staff, say I go into you and I want to do something and you say no, that can't be done. what is my recourse?
I think what we could do, if it's like a site plan or I certainly think we could say there's been cases, Jim, where somebody's come in to do something and we're not really sure what to do with it. And we will have them go to the commission and let the commission decide that. So, I mean,
the point is that, you know, as long as I've been on the Planning and Zoning Commission, which has been a long time, we've had different staffs. Mm-hmm. And you know, now we have a good staff and I would feel trustworthy. Well, I'm being honest. I would feel trustworthy. If you said that something was good, I would say. But I can clearly say in the past, that might have not always been the situation.
And it might not be the future. I understand.
Right. So I'm just saying. So what happens if an applicant comes in and the person, the powers to be in your job or Mike's job or whoever's job doesn't like it? Is there a recourse for them to take it further to someone else?
I don't know, Mike. I suppose if you deny somebody a zoning permit, they can appeal that. It just seems like there'd be an easier way than that.
They could appeal any decision. They could appeal to the ZBA, and the ZBA would then look to determine if the decision was made correctly. But the way to think about site plan applications are that they're yes or no questions. So if you meet the criteria established in the regs, then the answer is yes. Staff has to give the answer of yes because that you've met the criteria. And even if they were to come to the commission, a site plan application is still a yes or a no question. You can't attach special conditions to site plans. So you can't say we're going to approve this with the condition that the hours are X or that the dumpster pad be screened. What you would do is make sure the regulations said we would allow the following use, which has to operate within these hours, and dumpster pads should always be screened. So the goal would be to establish the standards within the regulations so that the yes or no questions are very easy to understand and demonstrate, so that we're simply going through and basically checking the math and saying, yep, you've got this, the site plan complies with the following, your parking is good, your hours make sense, you have the minimum lot size, whatever the standards are. So the goal would be, if there were ones that you maybe are not sure about, to establish those standards and put them within the regs so that it doesn't matter who has to do the review. You have determined exactly what they need to meet.
So are our regs up to that standard now?
Oh, I would say. Your regs are very extensive as far as what we review when somebody comes in for a plan. I don't want to say down to the blade of grass, but it is pretty close to that.
Okay.
And again, I think that you've got those standards are in a couple of places. And the thing to do, I think, would be to combine them into one place so that the standards are the same for what you're looking for. You also have to remember that staff includes a town engineer. So where there's engineering involved for a detention pond or parking runoff or whatever, you're still going to get that review. And he's still going to have to meet, the applicant's still going to have to meet that those requirements.
Okay. I just had a question.
No, it's a good question, I think.
So if the staff denied it, it'd have to go to ZBA for an appeal. They wouldn't go to planning and zoning. I mean, could we put something in if somebody was denied, they could have a public hearing on it?
You couldn't.
Would a public hearing have to be the ZBA because they're looking for a variance after staff's decision?
They would be looking for, if it's an appeal, then it's not actually, it's not even a variance. They're basically asking the ZBA to review the zoning regulations and determine if in this case me, if I made the correct decision. So they're basically stepping into my shoes, reviewing the circumstances and determining if they need to uphold my denial or overturn it. I think that, you know, there's certainly towns that have language, and it wouldn't, you may already have it, that basically dictates that if staff has any concerns about the compliance of a particular application, that they can review the application with the Planning and Zoning Commission. It doesn't then change the process. You don't then have a public hearing. You can't then attach special conditions and start hearing from members of the public and do all of that. But it allows for staff to seek guidance from the commission on perhaps interpretation of what a specific use might be. I know that 100 years ago, we had a bit of a round and around discussion with a commission about how to categorize axe throwing. That was like a recreational use. Everybody started doing it, but what is it? It's not retail. Is it entertainment? Is it active recreation? Is it personal fitness like a gym? And so it wasn't in the regs. No one had axe throwing in their regs. So we go to the commission and we say, where does this land? And you provide the guidance at that point.
Anger management.
That's true. That's
not in the regs either.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, and we've done this a few times with you where people have come in with something and they've come in with a informal review with the Planning and Zoning Commission. And I think if it's something like that, we certainly as staff could do that and say, you know, we think you should go at least before the Planning and Zoning Commission. And if there's any concerns, fine. And if not, then we go from there. But, and that doesn't require a permit or it's an informal review. So.
Yeah, I would consider axe throwing either a sport or some type of hobby.
Yeah, I think that the perhaps the first step might be for the commission to not there's probably a lot of uses which no one's going to argue about what they are. We know what a bank is, we know what an office is, we know what a gym is, we know what a veterinary hospital. So if there's concern about a complicated use or what it might be, then you leave that as it is and just let the stuff that makes much more sense and is more well-defined within the regs, let that go site plan. The other thing that a lot of places do is they put like a cap. So a business office in excess of 20,000 square feet goes to the commission, but if it's under that, it can be reviewed by staff. So you might be okay with it at a small scale, but you know, 100,000 square foot retail establishment, maybe that needs to go to the commission. That's another option.
I look at this list and I can see things that the public is gonna want to have input on, and then there are things that the public could care less about. So that's another way to look at it. I just going to ask you to send me a spreadsheet.
I will. I'll send it out to tonight or tomorrow. Again, just what we had, but maybe what I'll do is I'll wait till I get yours gone and I'll send them both and we'll go from there.
Okay.
I went to pull it up and it wasn't there. 12 and 13 pages. You can just print those 30 pages.
Is there anything else anyone wants to say? Jim, it's your turn.
Motion to adjourn.
Oh, yes. No, I do. There is correspondence. Excuse me.
Okay.
Just correspondence from Jim Rupert, which was included in the packet about the 824 referral recommendation that you guys sent a recommendation of approval last time for the temporary building in front of Notch Road Municipal Center. they had to change the orientation of the building to help out with the location of utilities. And I think there was a sketch in the packet, at the end of the packet. So unless anybody has any questions, I don't think there's a need for you to have to approve it or re-recommend or anything like that. It's just, you recommended the use. I don't think it was really the shape of the building that you were recommending. So I just want to make you aware of that unless there's any questions about it.
Thank you.
No, I think that was a big plus doing that.
Okay.
I just have one more question. You know, the first applicant that we reviewed the deck?
Yes.
The purpose of that coming to us is that part of, I mean, it seems like that should be an easy staff review.
I think Mike and I would agree with you. We were a little stuck on how, I know this has happened before, it was before I got here. I believe there was a house built just down the road from there. I want to say the name was Hannon, maybe. But they had to do the same thing. Of course, they were building a whole property and house and all of that. But the regulations require that you guys sign off on this. And I feel like if you have a wetlands, the Wetlands Commission has gone through the exercise of reviewing this and it's near the lake and what have you. I can't understand what would happen if the Wetlands Commission said yes and planning said no for some reason. Then what would happen? He's got a wetland.
I don't.
Maybe they could be going for a 2 or 3 story thing instead of just a deck. You know, who knows?
They still need a wetland though, Rod.
Right, and a wetlands approved it. But would we approve a 3-story thing going along the lake?
Well, he can't apply for something that isn't allowed in the regulations. The key here is there's two different groups looking at the exact same 50-foot setback and making hopefully the same decision each time.
The Zoning Board of Appeals made the same decision as well.
Yeah, they okayed it. Yeah. Well, they okayed it because he was too close to a side yard, Mike. I don't remember what the variance was. There's a couple of variances. Yeah. So,
I haven't looked at the deeds for that area, but I would imagine that the lake is also that rear property line. And the idea is that you want to leave the area around the lake somewhat unencumbered from so that people don't crowd themselves up right up to the water line. I don't see why, if that was such a serious concern, you couldn't just modify this rear yard setback to be equivalent to that if it really was a problem, rather than requiring a second step here.
It's its own zone pretty much around the lake. You could have that zone for the rear yards in that zone to be whatever you 50 feet. That's what you want it to be.
Okay. I just wondered why. It seemed odd.
Agree.
Mr.
Chairman, I move to be adjourned.
I second it.
All in favor say aye.
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 I have 8 and 24.
Correct.
All right.
Thank you all.
We'll see you all in
September 13th.